Welcome to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner, where we're committed to helping you think like an entrepreneur and gain an exponential advantage. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. And now, get ready for the eMind.
Hey folks, have you ever gone on a wild adventure? Some of you are like, hey, that is my life. Hey, John, how you doing today?
What's up, buddy? I'm good, man. Great to be awesome. Here with you and everybody else.
Awesome. So listen, I'm at a hotel in France, and yes. Chet may be walking in at any moment because he's extremely tired. And I said, listen, just come on in, man. We may interview you too. But
I love it.
Yeah, but listen, let's talk about a couple things. One is, I know we're talking about the 1 year anniversary of the eMind, and yeah. You know, that book really is about France. So we'll get into that in a moment. But I've also been seeing you doing a lot of posting on LinkedIn. I think it's fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
But man, as I've seen your journey the last, I think we've known each other now at least 10 years.
At least, yep. 2013, yeah. I think. So 11, okay. Going on 11.
Yeah. Going on 11. So listen, man, people today, they're tuning in, they're going to be watching the replay, but there's this whole adventure thing where, I mean, a couple days ago, people woke up. Mm. Nobody knew what was going to happen to you know, a presidential candidate. People get phone calls all the time. People, I mean, you know, we're cycling mountains. I mean, somebody can take a spill. But what would you say to the person who kind of thinks that they have everything figured out, everything's a plan? What would you say to them?
You know, it's interesting, right? Yeah, the last couple of days get you reflecting on life, I think, and the fragility of life.
Right.
I was just talking to someone just a little bit ago about family, and this guy just bought a car for his 16-year-old daughter, and his 18-year-old son's going away to college in the fall. I've got a 16-year-old, 15-year-old, and 10-year-old, as you know, but it just feels like it's flying by. And I think about impact and not waiting. Right.
Like, there you go. Making the moment count.
Yeah, I think, and I struggle with this. I mean, you can probably attest to that in many of our conversations. But look, I have been publishing a lot lately, probably the most I ever have in my life.
What was the switch, man?
Well, many things, but I have a tendency to be, as I think probably most humans, somewhat of a perfectionist. And, you know, I don't want to put something out there unless it's polished and perfect. And I just decided to practice in public and not be afraid to do that. Right. Like, I mean, here's the thing. I wrote a book, right, 2 years ago with Intention.
Yes.
You helped me, my publisher, and a big part of that.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like even though I wrote a book and it was an awesome, hard process, but I felt like there was an element to me that like shut down after it and I didn't want to write. And there was even an element of like, yeah, I published a book, but I'm not really a writer. Mm. Right.
and so, like a little imposter syndrome.
For sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, just for me, I've started to study the craft of writing a little bit more, and just like, and I'm a fine writer, but not, I mean, because you're traditionally educated in school, and you can certainly tell me about your writing education. I mean, I think you're a brilliant writer, and you know, there's always an element to me that was always like, I'm not that good. And okay, you wrote a book, but you're still not that good. Mm. And so I found a group that was doing like a challenge, like publish every day for 30 days.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, this is cool. I think I can do this. And I was ready to test myself a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I jumped into this challenge and was like, all right, I'm gonna publish. I don't care. I don't care. Rain, shine, not feeling like it, whatever. Every day I'm just going to test this out. And I've always been a big habits guy, and I get that, former athlete and sales guy. Like, I get the the process, right?
Right.
But I don't think I've ever really played that out. It's funny, my book is With Intention, but yeah. I don't know if I've ever intentionally put it out there, meaning content. And a couple things happen. One, it's not about me. It's about the audience and how do I serve the world in a bigger way. And then I actually read a book too around that time. I was kind of exploring doing this challenge, and I read Austin Kleon's Show Your Work, which blew my mind from the standpoint of like, and I've heard this message a million times, but his whole thing is like, man, so what? So what if it's not good? Put it, and of course you want it to be good, right?
Show your work. That's interesting. I've never heard of that book, but it seems like it's almost like a math teacher, right? I mean, saying you came up with the right answer, but show your work. I don't know. That's where I get that's where I get it from.
Or it's if you studied Seinfeld at all, the comedian.
Okay.
Heard him in interviews.
Don't break the chain.
Yeah. Never miss twice. But there was like when I was getting into the speaking world a couple of years ago, I came across something where he said he went like some comedian that had a comedy class in Hollywood invited him in to speak to the class. And Seinfeld came in and, you know, he's speaking to the class and he's like, look, I kind of fear for you guys that you were even taking a class because it's not about the class. It's about showing up and doing stand up. Go do the work.
Yeah.
And I think Tim Ferriss interviewed Seinfeld and said one time, like, hey, what would if you had a billboard somewhere, what would it say? And he just said, just work. Mm. And he's notorious for like yellow legal pad. He creates every day for an hour. His daughter's trying to get into writing or comedy. And he's like, I'm not sure if he has what it takes because it's literally getting every day, spending an hour. Not, I think it's more than an hour, by the way.
Yeah.
His process, but creating every day. And he says something like 98% of it's crap and 2% is gold.
Yeah.
But it's the mining of it every single day. So it's funny because I've heard this before and I've studied it. But for the first time, in all honesty, I feel like I'm in the game. And just figuring it out and just publishing consistently. And I see Chet in the background. I know he's a master at this publish every day thing. He's been doing it for years.
We'll bring Chet over here soon. No. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He said no.
Chet, you have a blog reader, man. You have your audience here. No,
but seriously, guys like you and him inspire guys like me because it's like, you know, Chet's been posting every day probably for over a decade. And I'm sure he would say it's not all magic and not all great, but you just show up. And it's funny how your brain starts to change and you start to just be a person that does it. And I feel that right now. I'm in the mix and it's not perfect, but it's been fun. And I'm messing around with, I'm trying different things. I'm trying different visuals and different ways to express messages.
Yeah.
And just to, you know, let it go. So, yeah, the feedback's been pretty cool and it's been fun.
One thing I like about Chet's work is that he does force his students to write.
Yeah.
You know, and it does unlock a different part of your brain for sure. I like what you're saying, though, practice in public. So, you know, we've been facing these mountains the last few days. And it's funny when you see a big mountain. My son and I were in Colorado recently and we were just having a chat while we were driving him to his friend. And it made the whole Jesus parable. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move and it will move. Yeah. Like there's a lot of metaphors of the mountain, you know. Like I have mountains in my life or I need to, you know, but some days we're on these bikes, you know, and some days you feel it and other days you don't. And, you know, there's a book right now. I have not read it yet, but it's called The Mountain Is You. Have you seen that one float around?
I have not read it, but yes.
I haven't read that one either, but I can assume what it is, you know, almost like a revisited obstacle is the way.
Yeah.
Type of thing. But it's interesting. You know, we just ate at the restaurant that last year we, you know, I had eaten that and
by yourself last year.
Yeah. Yeah, by myself. So I wanted the guys to come see it, and it was great. And you know, amazing food, amazing pizza, amazing goat cheese salad. I mean,
it's fantastic. That's right. I remember that place.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, John, last night I had to make it up again, you know. What do I mean by that? The guys, there's this famous route called Alpe d'Huez. Okay. And I had never done it yet. I didn't do it last year. And it's supposed to be like one of the most famous Tour de France climbs, right? So these guys didn't want to do it. And they're like, you got to do it, Carrie. And we left at noon, which is like ridiculously late in the day, mm-hmm. to do like massive climbs. So they're like, no, man, you can do it. You can do it. So I just said, all right, I'm going to do it. And I went out, John, and I finally got to the base of Alpe d'Huez at 6:15 p.m. Like, that's how long wow. You see what I'm saying? So yeah. Like, it took me 6 hours to wow. get to the base. And then I have to climb, 21 hairpins all the way to the top.
And when sunset? Like 9 p.m.?
It's probably like 8:45. Okay. But you're in the mountains, okay. You know, and who knows? Like, I don't even know, you know. And a lot of cycling is you're making it up as you go. And I'm so glad I had my visa because, you know, like, I mean, you run out of water, you run out of food, you can't plan. So kind of like this is the theme, I think, for today's podcast. Mm-hmm. You are making it up as you go. Mm-hmm. I'm making it up as I go. I think a lot of successful people, you know, the public looks back and says, wow, they got it all figured out. Or, you know, look at Elon Musk and what about Steve Jobs and this and that. You could not have made up. And again, this isn't a political thing, but whether you like Donald Trump or Joe Biden, whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, you can't predict how you're going to act when you get shot at, you know? Like right. Most of life is you can't wait to the moment to prepare. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, John, mm-hmm. So I start going up this mountain and – you know, I had reached 10,000 feet that day, which for cycling is pretty crazy, right? And I finally get to the top and it's 8:30 and it's dark. And I call my friends and look, I know some people are going to be like, your friends are jerks, but just hang with me. But they're an hour away and another mountain because they didn't want to go. So I'm like, hey guys, nobody's picking up an Uber. Like no Uber drivers are driving. And they're like, we'll just find a cab. And I literally go to a hotel and I start asking around, nothing. No train, no bus, no Uber. I'm at the top of a mountain and I have nothing. Like I have my shorts and my shirt right. And my Visa card. Right. So I go to this restaurant and it's white sheepskin chairs and it's really fancy and I hear I am like covered in sweat, right? So I say to the guy, I'm like, listen man, do you got a room that I can rent tonight? Mm-hmm. And he's like, I don't know man, I'll check. So he goes and checks and this is like literally why I wrote this book, because entrepreneurship, you're making it up. Yeah. Like a lot of people think entrepreneurs mm-hmm. got it all figured out. You are literally making it up. You mm-hmm. don't know when to launch. If you launch, like just recently, no joke, John, just recently, somebody in another country, I'm not going to say what name, mm-hmm. but they just sent us a cease and desist letter with a lawsuit.
Oh, wow.
And they're like, you got to do X, Y, Z, or we're going to sue you. I woke up that day and did not have that plan. You know, so I say all this to say I finally did get a room and they let me borrow a toothbrush or have a toothbrush.
Wow. This is at the top of the mountain. There's a restaurant, hotel.
There's a restaurant and a hotel. It's called Alpe d'Huez. People can Google it. Okay. But I didn't even freak. Like, you know, I I'm always praying. I'm always trying to pray and just say, okay, God, what's up? You know, somebody once said, what does this make possible? You know, like, I love that phrase. What does this make possible? I love that. So, John, I checked into my hotel at 9:30. I borrowed the dude's iPhone charger because that's how I find my way back the next day.
You need the technology,
Yeah, I'm like, you know, what can I get for dinner? He's like, it's closed now. What can I get for like everything, man? So anyway, I showered. They had a bathroom. I'm not going to be graphic intense here, but I slept in the bathroom.
That's a pajama. That's the bathroom.
And and then the next day I put on all my jersey and my shorts, the same ones that I wore the day before. And booked it back 8,000 feet.
Please tell me, did you wash them at all? Did you put them in the sink? No, you just threw them on. I like it.
I probably should have been.
All right.
I probably should have done that.
That's all right.
So I left at 6 a.m., made my way back.
Did you ride back down? Is that how you got down?
Yeah.
Wow.
So then
what was today, that ride like?
It's cold at 6 a.m. with wet clothes. I mean, it's cold on the mountain. So found my way back and man, you know, caught up with the guys. Just to show you, I want to show you some of these pictures though, John. And then we'll get rolling. But I mean, you know, the beauty of these pictures. Look at that. Can you see that?
That's amazing. Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah. I mean, does that look fake?
Unbelievable.
You know? So there's that picture, you know, I'm showing you like the good ones and stuff, but then I got to show you this other one. Here's what I did today.
Oh my gosh. You showed me that last year.
It's called the Lacelets, you know? Ooh. And so John, I love to push myself in everything, and you're pushing yourself. You know, you're stepping out of your box with publishing and, I don't know, what would you say to people who are sitting on something waiting to have it all planned? What would you say?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's about taking action despite emotions, right? That you can boil it down to one thing. It's just we're always gonna have doubts, right? And it's this ability to still take the action despite the doubt, I think, is where the magic is. I didn't know what that was until I don't know, you hear certain people come into your life that talk about it and it makes sense, but I didn't, you know, I didn't know it for a long, long time. But
yeah.
I think it's very easy to be like self-pity, and I'm not saying people don't struggle with things. There's certainly things if you're feeling anxious or depressed, for example, like you got to get the help, right? And get the support system. But man, I know you feel the same way. Like, biggest antidote to stress I know of is to go break a sweat.
Physical. So
yeah,
whether it's anxiety, depression, stress, fear, go out and crush something physically. Why? What does that do?
It's amazing what getting into motion, like, actually, I wrote a lot of my first draft of my book on the Peloton per your guidance. Like, I had a, you know,
you talked it out.
I talked it out. I had my table of contents up, and that was just getting the heart rate up is pretty amazing. So I think there's an element of, like, I think about it, you know, the days when, if you work out, right? Like, a lot of times, I know for me, my experience is if I don't feel like working out, if I can just get through like the first 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Break the sweat. Like, the key is to like break the first sweat. And then it's usually magic, and I have a great workout. Sometimes the best when you don't want to do it because you're teaching yourself to power through it, right? So I think there's magic in that whole you don't feel like doing something, but you force yourself to do it. And I'm a big I'm like the gamified too, so I'll set a timer and I'll, you know, I'll even do it at like if I got to do an expense report, which I absolutely hate to do if I'm traveling like for work. Be like, all right, just 10 minutes and grind through it. Next thing you know, it's like 45 minutes and I've done a bunch of it. But writing for me is the same thing. Like, if I can, I'll set a timer and just say, I'm just going to show up for 30 minutes and go through a session. And if nothing happens, it doesn't matter. I'm still going to sit here and get through it. And you always 30 minutes is up and I'm like, that sweat is there. I feel pretty good. Let me keep going. I mean, you're the master at like crazy long creative sessions. You're the, like, you think about deep work. I mean,
yeah.
What do you do? How do you?
Well, I'll show you here. I'm looking for my, you know, I actually have a lot of reminders. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm wearing a Garmin watch.
Yeah.
And the Garmin watch tells me that my body battery is, mm-hmm. is 12 left for the mm-hmm. day. Okay.
Okay.
So I'm wearing an Ultra Human ring. All right. So yeah. Now like people might be like, dude, what are you crazy? What are you doing? But
yeah,
but listen, you know, if you don't measure something,
mm-hmm.
You're not conscious of it. Like, how was your day? Good. What does yeah. that mean? Yeah. You know, how was your writing session? Fine. Yeah. So like you have to create metrics.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there'll be times where I am not tired, you know, which is one of my kryptonites. And then I'm like, well, crap, my ring's going to tell me that, that I have a sleep deficit. So yeah. There's this new thing on the Ultra Human ring. I'm going to show it to you, man. I had Aura, but then Aura started, charging per month.
Okay. Yeah.
So I got the, I switched it. Okay. So right now, if you look here, my sleep debt is 41 mm-hmm. minutes.
Okay.
So why? Because last night, like, got jacked.
Yeah.
But what's really cool is like, I mean, you know, VO2 max and, mm-hmm. you know, like, man, I watch mm-hmm. everything. Mm-hmm. I watch everything. And what it does is it helps gamify. But no, like you and I have had a lot of mental health chats and I'm really glad that your book is about mental health. And I would highly recommend if anybody needs, you know, their next read, I would get With Intention. It's a fantastic book. I love what you say in the book. What is that? About a focused head. And yeah, there it is. Attention requires a focused head. Intention requires a focused heart. And I mean, you've had some really cool interviews that you've done with people, but there's a lot of people living without intention, don't mm-hmm. you think?
Oh gosh. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, of course. And I battle it too, right? Like this is a work in progress. This is, I feel like a constant, always in the lab. And, you know, one of the guys I interviewed, Dr. Russell Barkley, I was really interested in ADHD. Someone in my family has
right.
ADHD.
Right.
And one of the things I came across when I was before the interview was he had this whole concept that he talks about intention deficit disorder, that most intention deficit disorder, not attention deficit disorder. So yeah. He said, yes, ADHD is a real thing. Absolutely. And you have to find treatment and everything for that. But he also says what most people deal with is this intention deficit disorder. So this, it's the gap between knowing and doing.
Yes.
And we all and deal with it. Yeah.
Look at the Gospels, you know, we're both faith people.
Yeah.
But there's a parable where Jesus tells a story about two people. And one person says, yes, I'll do it and never does it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other person says, I'm not going to do it, and then does it. And Jesus actually compliments the guy who gets it done. Like,
mm-hmm.
in other words, zero credit for saying. And I think James in the scriptures, mm-hmm. you know, the scripture, James is a certain letter, but it says like, you know, faith without works is dead. In other words, you can say everything, right? So I agree with you. I mean, you're not mm-hmm. going to make it to the top of a mountain without intention. And mm-hmm. think about it, John, you know, when you're riding these French mountains, every kilometer. So check this out. I know that you're going to come some year,
mm-hmm.
right? Yes. But every kilometer, it tells you what the altitude is.
Mm-hmm.
It tells you the percentage. In fact, I think I have it. Hold on. Ooh, I got one. show and tell, man. Hang on.
Love it.
So Chet actually bought one of these for everybody. Oh, this is so good. This is exactly what it looks like. Okay.
Okay.
So you see these every kilometer the whole way up the mountain.
Okay. Okay.
And some of these, I think the longest one is 48 kilometers.
Okay.
So like imagine that 48 of these things up the mountain. And what it does is it tells you the altitude.
Yeah.
But then it tells you the percentage grade of how steep it is.
Okay.
And so why is it important? Because you know what's coming. And like, you know, if it says 10% grade, dude, it's going to not be good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So it says it before, like you'll see the sign 10%. And you know, like 10% is coming.
So. Yeah. And it'll say like 13 kilometers left. And the next one will say 12. And then the next one will say, can you imagine?
Gosh.
Can you imagine though, if you had to climb a mountain, we call it climb a mountain, you know, it's cycling.
Mm-hmm.
But could you imagine not knowing how many kilometers or the percentage? Like that would actually be pretty tough. I'm actually glad. But I mean, God doesn't tell us on the mountain of life, hey, the next kilometer of your life has a suck meter of like, you know, 10 out of 10.
Like well, you know what this reminds me of? You said that this is a teaching you did like 10 years ago. One of the first things I did with you, you talked about, I may butcher the data or whatever, but a child.
Oh, a child about.
Let's learn how to walk.
Learn how to walk. If they had an adult brain in a baby, it would take to the age of 81 before the baby would learn how to walk because they would have so much self-doubt, self-hatred, you know, criticism. Exactly.
So here's I'll challenge your thing on the kilometer thing. Do you always want to know? Because if you know how steep the grade is, maybe you turn away and you don't do it.
Yeah.
So
we got 2 minutes left because Chet's going to go to bed here. Right? Am I right? I just showed him the little thing, Chet, the little Galibier that you got me. That was super cool. Here's the thing, John. I actually do want to know what the next
grade is,
what the next kilometers. I actually do because I don't know. It's like
helps you
care mentally.
Yeah.
I think it would be harder to not know.
Yeah.
But in life, think about it. In life, we're not being told.
Yeah.
You know, your next month is going to have a 10% grade.
Sure.
Of elevation.
Yeah. The question.
Go ahead. I just think there's something there. I think I could do a whole teaching around that.
Yeah. I like
it. What were you going to say?
No, just this whole idea of assessing situations that are coming, right? And if you know, I see the paradox of it. Like sometimes it's good not to know and you just show up and you get through it. But like you said, I could argue it's nice to know how hard the challenge is going to be because you can prepare for it.
Yeah.
Cool, right? You know what's going to be the grade or whatever. And that's a metaphor for life. If you know this next season. And I actually think it's this whole, I was just talking to my son about this yesterday of like prepare for adversity. Like just know that an adverse situation is coming. And then when it comes, it doesn't, it loses its significance, right? Cause you're like, I expected this. Here's how I respond. This is a great work that Chet does with core. Like what are your standards? What's your core? Oh, I embrace adversity. I don't run away from it. Oh yeah. Like I got to remind myself about that all the time. Humans deal with adverse situations every day. So you have a choice to make.
Absolutely.
Grace it and run into it, or I run away from it.
So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the interview outside.
All right. Okay. Okay.
Just for a few minutes. All right.
Yeah.
Because I got to have my friend.
We'll adapt. You got to adapt.
You're good.
See you, Chet.
Say hi. You guys.
I'm good. How you doing?
How are you, buddy?
Good,
congratulations, man. Love following the journey.
Oh, yeah. I know. He writes good blog posts. Don't lock me out, Chet.
Oh, yeah, just unlock me.
Sweet. No, I think there's something there, though, John. I really feel like that would be a good teaching, you know, show that little mountain thing.
Yeah.
And then do a little teaching. So here's what I'm going to do. Walk down the hotel and I'm going to take you outside. I think the Wi-Fi will
work. There'll be some good views.
Dude. So we're in this crazy cool, it's called St. Jean de Marine. And as long as the Wi-Fi keeps doing it, I think I can go out the front door. Hang on. I'm going to try.
What time is it?
So it's 9 o'clock. So I'm in the city of, did I get you? Still here?
Yeah.
You got me?
It was kind of sketchy there for a second, but I think I have
outside. So anyway, I'm locked out now, but we'll show you the city of France here. So this is Saint Jean. This is actually a cycling town. In fact, check it out. They have the. I mean, this is actually where they did the Tour de France this year. They had a stage start here. So wow. The whole town's like super into cycling. It's pretty cool.
Amazing.
So, John, thanks for doing this. I wanted to, you know, have you interview me because I just feel like you know the journey. We're like-minded. And there's a lot of metaphors in cycling about entrepreneurship, life in general. You pulled one out of me tonight. That could be the next book, man.
Mm-hmm.
After the one that I'm working on.
You got it right.
Yeah, but I really feel like it could be because I'm going to sit down here. So there's this thing. I was watching a Lance Armstrong podcast the other day. Mm-hmm. And he said that there's this one race that nobody knows how many laps it is. On purpose. So like you could be going and it's over in 5 or over in 2 or over in 52. But I feel like the human brain, whether it's swimming, you know, we're headed into the Olympics here soon. Mm-hmm. And that imagine if you did not know what the finish line was.
Yeah.
Like how would that change the way you operate? But that's what the Navy SEALs do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
They're just messing with you, trying to see how long you can last, right? Isn't the concept of the Navy SEALs like make the next 30 seconds or next minute?
Yeah.
That's like what they try you to, they train you to, it's all about presence and just getting through the next minute.
Yeah. I think that's going to be it, man. Like, I really do because we don't know that. That's why cancer surviving is so hard.
Yeah.
That's why relationships are so hard. Like, you don't know when your prodigal son or daughter is going to come home.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know when you're going to, you know, I've had family members with dementia. Like, you don't know when, how long that's going to be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I do feel like something there about knowing almost like no finish line or something.
Well, and I just published something about this, the Stockdale paradox.
Yes.
Yeah, the whole concept of it's not about just optimism and, hey, kumbaya, everything's going to be great. It's literally about how can I be realistic about the current circumstances, adapt and do something about it. And it's
almost like the Viktor Frankl thing.
Yeah, totally. Viktor Frankl, in Search for Meaning. Yeah. So Stockdale was a POW in Vietnam, and it was the people that struggled to make it were the ones that had this like, hey, we're going to be optimistic
by Thanksgiving.
Yes. We're going to be out by Thanksgiving or Christmas. And then those times pass and they're still there. The ones that made it were like, look, this sucks, but we're going to battle through day by day, moment by moment, and keep battling through until we get out. And I think
that's huge,
right?
Yeah. I mean, look at David in the scripture. He's anointed king, but he's never told when he's going to assume the throne. I feel like there's a lot of people watching this right now that it's almost like they know they're destined for greatness. They know that the blessing is coming, but they don't know when, you know? And so they can just like give up or they can stick it out. Sweet, man.
Yeah. And I got to say this too, because it's, we've talked about this before, but I was talking to a friend, pretty prominent author, about the journey of thought leadership. And he said to me, most people think A to Z, and you want to have, you're at A and you want to know what Z is and have it all figured out. But he said, it's A, B, Z. So you, all you got to do is take that next step. And you've talked about this, take the next best
step. Your next best step. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's such a, it seems so easy, but it's really not, because you want to have everything. You want to have everything mapped out.
Right? Yeah.
But just take the next best step. I think it's really powerful advice. Just to, I think as humans, we get in our own way too much. Right.
Yeah.
But you want to have everything figured out. I mean, look at you. You wrote this whole book last year, The E-Mind, and then you have this. I love this. This is great. There you go. We got someone.
I'm good. Yeah.
But think about this. Like, I know last year was a huge epiphany for you in learning, because you went by yourself. But think about this was last night where you stayed in this hotel, right?
Yeah.
Like,
it was.
You don't even bat an eye with that stuff anymore. Like,
no, actually. And I do feel like it's a muscle.
Yeah, it's totally a muscle.
I mean, I'm literally talking to my wife 2 weeks ago, and there was a pause in the conversation, and she was, you know, typing out something. And then I looked at my phone. I'm like, oh, I just got a lawsuit from another country, you know, but I mean, you have to get to that point though. And I do feel like it is a muscle, because, and here's what I would say, your loved ones, take cues from you.
Yes.
I mean, think about it. Again, I'm not in the US right now, so I've only caught sound bites of the whole Trump thing, and I don't even know what's going on. But I mean, like, even if, I mean, take everything and throw it aside and just say, how does someone respond in a moment? And I've always said that trials don't ruin you, they reveal you. So you know, I mean, he could not, you've heard me teach on Sully, Captain Sully. Sully could not wait for the bird strike to prepare to be a glider pilot. Like, he was a glider pilot and practicing, and then it was revealed that he needed that. And I feel like that's what God does with pain, trials. It's like he's perfecting us so that when the moment hits, what's inside comes out.
And I think that's a choice too, right? It's how we view those moments. So if you are always in preparation mode, which I believe you are, right? That's why you
can try to.
Yeah. And I'm sure
it's kidding, right?
I'm sure it's not perfect for you either, right? But it's like for me, I gave a speech a few months back, and I did like 62 reps before the speech.
Yes. Oh yeah. You helped me on my task, man.
But like, I used to be the guy that I won a speech contest in high school, and I thought like I was a great speaker, so I didn't have to prepare. And then all of a sudden I'm not that good. And it took me a while to figure out like, oh dude, you got to put in the work. So, you know, the reps really, really matter in life. And even the monotonous reps, like the basics matter. So you've got to be really intentional and focused on how do I put the time in and the effort so that when I climb the mountain, I'm prepared. I mean, I know your training regimen leading into France. How many, gosh, I know you have a track too on Strava. Thousands and thousands and thousands of miles, not just of biking, but elevation to prepare you for climbing.
I think I'm at just since January 1, I just crossed 250,000 feet in elevation.
Wow.
You know, and I do that because I know that I'd rather suffer in the basement on a machine or back in Ohio than like have a freak out on a mound by myself in France.
Do you feel more prepared than last year too? Like, how do you compare the two?
Oh yeah. No, that's a really good question. So the first day I had the thought in my head, like, you know, I'm just just being real with everybody. Like,
yeah.
I suck. What am I doing? What am I doing here? And the reason why is because, honestly, I think it was 2 hours of sleep.
Right.
So to me, that's what it was, because you fly out at 5 p.m. from Washington, D.C. You fly through the night. You land in Switzerland. You get a ride to the mountains, whether it's an Uber or a rental, taxi, train. And then, like, you're on the slopes. Yeah. Or whatever. You're on the mountains. Not slopes, but you're on the mountain. Like, two hours sleep. So that first day, get this, John. Besides Pikes Peak, I've never had a stop.
Oh, for real?
I've never had a stop on a mountain. I've never had a stop. Now, have I stopped to take off, an external layer or something? Yes, but it wasn't because I couldn't do it, except for Pikes Peak 2 weeks ago, because the oxygen, oh my gosh. But anyway, 2 days ago or 4 days ago, whatever, I totally stopped several times. And I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And then once I got through that first day, though, now it's been amazing.
Yeah.
So well, now I feel better.
There's a teaching in that too, right? That we oftentimes neglect rest and just assume we're good.
Yeah.
There's a million things. I'm sure your diet, knowing you.
Yeah.
Still dialed in. But yeah, what do you expect? You get off a plane and you go and you ride, you're biking in mountains. Yeah, you're going to bonk.
Yeah, that's what they call it. They actually call it. You're right.
Yeah.
They call it bonking. And if you don't have the right hydration, food, sleep, training. So I do. People say to me, what do you do for 8 hours on a bike? Do you have a podcast? Do you have headphones? Actually, last year, the very first day I brought them, because I thought I would use them, I've never used them. Now,
but not this year either.
No. Now, in Ohio, I will, because I'll listen to a podcast. But, dude, the nature and the beauty here is amazing.
I can only imagine.
It's amazing. So you really don't, but I feel like you can't be checking your phone. You're not plugged in, so there's no alerts. You're essentially unplugged.
Yeah.
And I think there's something there too. Like, a lot of times, I think actually, do you remember that? We'll wrap up here in 2 minutes because it's the middle of the day, and I'm sure you have.
No.
What's that? You got that metal poster I bought you, or whatever it's called? Is that around or not really?
Nah, it's here somewhere. Redoing my office, and I have piles of stuff. It's somewhere there.
It's all good, but it says something like, "I don't ride my bike to arrive somewhere. I don't ride my bike to some." But it's like, I gotta find that poster. I'm gonna find it.
I think the gist of it is you'd ride it for the challenge and the process. And I think there's a teaching there too, right? Like, if you can embrace and love the process, like, that's what I'm learning about writing. I'm falling in love with becoming a better writer and just falling in love with showing up.
That's
good. And not caring as much about the result, where I used to always care about, it's got to be perfect writing before I hit publish. And now it's it's not that great, but whatever. Like, and over the course of time, I should be, and I'm starting to track the data on this now to be able to see, like, oh, which ones have the most impressions or the most shares or the most engagement or whatever else. It's kind of fun to see, like, oh, all right, when I talk about this, this is what I'm present.
I found it. I don't ride my bike to win races, nor do I ride to get places. I ride to escape this world. I ride to find my peace with myself. I ride to feel free, and I ride to feel strong. But it's true. Like, people are like, what the crap, man? Like, why do you cycle for 8 hours or something? But I think the thing is that it is, man, it's a metaphor. You said it, I said it, challenging yourself. you gotta, it's limits.
Yeah.
I feel like as a person, you're either status quo as a person, or you're purposely seeking to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel that all the time, dude. Like, I actually crave being uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so true. Can you get comfortable being uncomfortable? Is what it comes down to, right?
Yeah, and I mean,
growth happens.
Exactly. And I mean, it's easy to say that sitting on the steps in France, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I think that Hebrews 11 is called the Hall of Faith, and nobody in the Hall of Faith is there because it's like, and this woman's life was easy. And this guy's life was chill. Like, it's like, this dude fought the giant, this dude built a wall, this dude built an ark, this dude, you know, I mean, that's why you're there. And when I was thinking about entrepreneur, the word means one who bears risk.
Okay.
So think about that. Entrepreneur means one who bears risk, bearer of risk. Well, if you were guaranteed that you wouldn't fail, there's no risk.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I love entrepreneurs, is because they crave risk.
Yeah.
Not stupid risk. Not like, hey man, I'm gonna go run in front of a bus and see if it'll stop. Like that, you know, that's not with intentions. Oh, there you go.
There you go.
It's a good book. But you know, risking. There's your next book, John. Risking with intention.
I'm looking this up as you're talking. I'm trying to find it. I'm going to bring it back to Seinfeld again.
Okay.
I think Howard Stern was interviewing Seinfeld, and he was like, "How do you just write every day? How do you constantly do work? Like, a lot of these comedians stop working at some point, and
they've arrived."
He's like 70 years old, and he says, like Stern says, isn't it torture? And he's like, yes, it's torture, but I've fallen in love with the torture. Right. And that's like what you're saying is like, it doesn't become torture once you fall in love.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, ridden bikes with you. Like, there's times your legs are burning. And I know you probably felt that this morning when you're riding and you just got to, keep one more stroke, one more.
It is a great metaphor. You know, and the Tour de France is going on right now too, and I think some people would be like, what the heck, like who do you think you are? You're going to France and it's the Tour de France and these guys could kill you. Why are you here? You know, are you watching it? No, I'm having my own Tour de France. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, man. Like, I've always said, you can either watch the news or be the news.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not egotistical, being like, well, I got to be the news. No, I'm saying, like, there's so many people that are watching their lives go by. They're spectators in their own life, you know?
I love that. I'm writing it down. I think that's a powerful metaphor, man. I'm fighting that every day, right? Trying to get in the fight, get in the game. I love the man in the arena quote.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's a good. I saw you that recently,
right?
I get your blogs. I think it's where can people you know, sign up for that, because you are really writing some good
stuff. Yeah, I mean, so on my website, johngiganti.com, I do have a newsletter. Sign up. I think it's near the bottom. There's an assessment and different things too. So I have a newsletter that I'm publishing every Saturday morning. But I'm writing 4 to 5 days a week, publishing on LinkedIn, Twitter, are really the two. It's interesting because I was pretty big on, you know, personally on Facebook and Instagram. Still am. I mean, as far as like going there and publishing, I throw family stuff on there and whatnot. But I used to put a lot of the With Intention stuff on there. And I've actually shifted when I did this challenge, I shifted to LinkedIn and Twitter. And I just, for the first time, dedicated like, hey, I'm going to publish 3 times a day on Twitter and I'm going to publish once a day on LinkedIn. And so I did that for that 30-day challenge. And I've since, I'm about 2.5 months in. And, you know, I think I did the math today. I think I have 73 posts in 70 days. So
wow,
I've gotten away a little, like, great to have a newsletter and great to have your own website. I think that's important to have your own brand. But I've decided to, like, I've got a decent network on LinkedIn. So it's like, I'm just putting stuff on there, right? It's simple. They're like very short atomic essays. They're not long. They're not, because I've been doing it now for a couple months, I can write them pretty quick. And I feel like I'm in a pretty consistent
way. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I would say LinkedIn, you could follow me, John Giganti, and connect with me there. And,
it's just, you know what? You reminded me, maybe we close out this way. I saw this the other, probably about 2 months ago, and you're going to think this is the dumbest thing in the world, just like I did, but there's a point here. Have you seen this Facebook? The same photo of a gravel pile every day. 206,000 followers, 168,000 likes. Dude, I'm telling you, I'm not even kidding. It started out with a small, no, I'm not even kidding. Like, it started out with, I don't know, like, they kept building it.
It's the same photo every day. Nothing changes.
I think they add a rock. I think they add a stone. Like, so I think this thing's been going on for years. And 306.
Oh my gosh.
But see, here's the point. Why are people doing this? You might be like, because it's stupid. Yeah. But here's what I think it is. It's consistency.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's why I even found that, because somebody the guy's name is Vincent. And he said, how many of you are jealous that this pile of rocks has more followers than your content? And his whole point was, look at what they're doing. It's the same message and they're consistent, you know, and people show up to see if they're going to do it.
Well, and I wonder if it's the same time, the consistency of daily, but that's the other thing I've been learning is, like, publishing at the same time every day, people grow to expect it. And so when I publish, like, I have a post scheduled to go out tomorrow at 7 a.m. on LinkedIn, that's good, right? So that's like, I'm trying, it's not perfect again, but trying to, like, have that consistency. And I'm trying to still tinker and figure out, is it daily? Is it 3 days a week? Whatever. Yeah. I don't want to be too, overdo it, but also if it's valuable. So I think there's something to that consistency. That's wild. I've never seen that gravel picture.
Write this down, John, if you can, because I may ask you. Pick your pile.
Pick your pile. No,
pick your pile. In other words, you can't be consistent about everything.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So what I mean by that is you can't, like, I can't do everything consistently every day, because you got to pick your pile.
You know, burner. Have you heard of the 4-burner theory?
No, you can only have 4 things burning at once.
Yeah. You can't if you have more than that. And, like, obviously if you think about it, like a stovetop, one's turned up usually and one's turned out. Like, you can't do, you're right. You can't do everything.
That's good.
And there's different seasons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, leading up to France, I really step it up. But no, like, last thing I'll say, and then we got to roll. Having a goal. I know your buddy James Clear, I think he calls it an anchor goal. I don't know who came up with that. But the point is this, like, why do I say that I'm coming to France? Okay, fine, it's 8 days a year. Mm-hmm. But the whole year, it forces me to stay healthy.
Yeah.
You know, and so I feel like there is that type of thing too, where you have some anchor goal that it unlocks all the other goals that yeah. you want to achieve.
That's good.
Like you writing a book or a blog. Mm-hmm. Sweet man. Well, listen, I had the vision yeah. to, you know, do this interview in France.
Yeah, man.
Later, and thanks for, it was a good chat, and I got ideas and you got ideas and
love it.
People listening have ideas.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah. Be safe out there. Keep going. Keep me posted.
2 days left of riding.
What's that? 2 days left?
2 days left of riding. Okay. Yep.
Ooh. All right,
man.
Grind it out.
See ya.
See you, man.
Take care.
God bless.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Cary Oberbrunner. We look forward to hearing from you and how you're applying the eMind. Please share your story by submitting a review on your platform of choice. We read every single one. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. Visit ignitingsouls.com/emind and cedarville.edu for more help in your entrepreneurial journey.